guys. Welcome. It's Wednesday night. We are live right here in Fort Worth with your home group. My name is Greg Stevens, and I want to welcome you and thank you for being with us tonight. Last week, guys, it was all females on the panel discussing love and marriage. And so guess what? The producer said, how do you like that? Well, tonight we're going to have all guys talking about love and marriage. So the conversation actually might only be about 2 minutes long, and then we'll go on to something else. But it's an all-male crew tonight. Here's the deal. I'm already in trouble. Aren't I? I recently heard that most breakups happen around Valentine's Day and Christmas because guys are under so much pressure to get the perfect gift. Love, marriage, commitment. It's one conversation that can cause most men's eyes to glaze over. Have you ever wondered why that happens? Well, tonight we're going to discuss it and more right here with your home group. And we're going to look at this now, not by our opinions, but what the Word of God says about the covenant of marriage and what a godly man, what that is. We're going to do our best to tackle it. Once again, let me grab this. Your questions, comments are wanted, appreciated. You are part of the program. You drive it. There it is on the bottom of the screen. Ask home group at govictory.com. You want to text it at 682-302-1301, 682-302-1301. If you're watching on Facebook, just type it in directly right there. The call screeners are ready, and they're going to feed them right to my iPad right here. We'll get to as many of them as we possibly can. Listen, if you're not married and you're single, we want to talk to you as well. First, let me introduce you to the panel, then we'll do a couple of things and get right to it. To my right, I am so glad this guy is here. Philip Renner.
I'm excited
Welcome.
To be here.
Buddy, I am so happy that you, let's get this right. How do I do? Oh, never mind. I already messed it up.
John, off the rails already.
Philip Renner is with us. You know, I'll come back to you in just a second. Let me go ahead around the room. Caleb Mayer, welcome, Caleb. Stephen Shelton, John Jester.
Get off that handshake, dude. That was interesting. I love you. Hey, everybody.
I'm the guy with white hair. Dale Mock hey. Is with us. So listen, we want to know what you want for a program. We want to know your questions and comments. Before I go much further, at the very beginning of this year, we started off with a dieting, or not a dieting, what was it about?
Weight loss.
It was weight loss, eating right,
eating healthy,
all of those kind of things.
Right.
And so here at the ministry, it began today. A lot of people don't realize this about Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We have a clinic here that for our families and for us, if you need medical treatment or a diagnosis or whatever, you can go to the clinic and they'll take care of you and they'll pray with you. Mm-hmm. And we also have a gym and we have dietitians and all of that. So they've started this weight loss thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to call it. Living, living well.
Well, we're not. None of us are losers. No. So it's like a weight loss
healthy
challenge.
Living. Okay.
Healthy living weight loss challenge.
It's the greatest winner, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what we're doing, and I joined it, and the ladies that were on the program with me that night gave me the challenge. John joined
it. I'm in.
As well. And so today they had a camera out there as I was weighing in. Matter of fact, we're going to keep you up to date every week on how much weight is coming off of me. Watch this, and you can see the weigh-in today. Here we go.
Ready? Coming with. Okay, 3, 2. Okay, home group. At the beginning of the year, we had the weight loss program and eating right, and Abigail was on with us, and Maury was on with us. And here at KCM, we're doing something special. Tell them what we're doing. What is this?
A weight loss challenge.
So we're doing a weight loss challenge with all the staff and employees. I'm going to participate, and you're going to follow my progress all the way through.
So at the end, we're going to see you with fruit instead of candy.
So what do I need to get rid of? That? I'm getting rid of that? Yeah, I feel like I'm at the airport. I have no rocks in my pocket. Okay. Here, let me hand this off. Here, hold that. Here we go. You ready? Let's see. Here's the weight.
All right. You got to get this.
This is our weight. Not announce it for everybody back here.
All right. You ready?
You can see. Okay. We'll let you see. Okay, so here's my number.
We'll see what the final turns out.
And so next week I weigh in. Please pray for me. Pray, please. I'll give you an update next week. Bye-bye.
So John and I are going to do this now. Yeah. How long is this?
Three? 8 weeks, I believe.
8 weeks. We're going to do this, and so you can keep up our progress
wait
with
a minute,
this.
Our? You can keep up your progress, right?
No.
Am I in that? You want to be in that share?
You got to share.
Okay.
So right, I was at 232.
Uh-huh. What does that mean?
In other words, what do you weigh? Oh, yeah, what do you weigh?
I wasn't far from my playing weight. It's just kind of
shifted
somehow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I know.
It's just kind of shifted. Okay, so we're gonna follow this. Okay, let's get back let's get back. You're not going to say. That's okay. No. I won't make you say. No.
But I'll share my progress.
He's going to share his progress. Take the challenge with us. Let's get healthy together. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. Amen. So tonight, back to the subject. Unlike young girls, for most guys, we didn't, when we were 10, 11, 12, we didn't daydream about our wedding day or what our future wife would be or pick out names for our future children. We tended to be focusing less on what we felt and focused rather on games we were playing, like baseball or soccer. We didn't care about our friends and what they were wearing at the soccer game or how they felt when we kicked them or hit them. I read recently that women go into marriage for the marriage. To them, it's a package deal. The house, the kids, the stuff, then the guy. Men go into marriage for the woman. He likes the house, loves the kids, but he mainly just wants her to be happy. And we've all heard this phrase, happy wife equals
happy life.
Happy life, all right? Men get their purpose from their work and providing for their wives and family. To him, her priority seems to be the kids, soccer practice, Zumba, her friends, then him. Then when some years later, many times, it's tragic, it happens too often. Some woman pays attention to him years later, and the wife can't figure out why he would walk away from all of this when all he really wanted was her. Tonight, we're going to talk about love, marriage, relationships, children, and just being a guy from the Word of God. As we start off, Philip, home group, the inspiration for it came from your dad. I would watch home group with Rick Renner all the time. And one of my favorite things that he would do was to get up off the couch and walk to the other end of the set, the studio, yep. And he would write on a whiteboard, usually in Greek, and he explained what a verse is. So in honor of that, Philip, I have you, it's a small one.
Okay.
But I have you your own whiteboard and a marker. So if any time—
I'm ready.
If at any time you want to write in Greek,
I am ready.
Or Russian,
Greek, I'm not ready. Russian, anytime.
You can do it in Russian. Okay, so here's the deal. He didn't know I was going to do that to him, and now your dad's watching, and
he's watching,
and it's praying for you of what you will write.
What will I write
on there, gentlemen?
What will I write?
We're following the ladies up, and they did such a stellar job last week. Yeah.
They really
talking did. About. Relationships. Do you think we see things differently as guys than women do?
I don't think. I know we do.
Yeah, exactly.
We definitely do.
Yeah.
We have our first word.
A very important word for marriage, which is love.
And is that, that's Greek?
L.
That's not Greek.
Not Greek, no. We have the L, we have the U, we have the B, the O, the V, and the Makiznak, which is a soft sound, which altogether would be Lubov. There we go. Love. Very important.
It is important. So I am speechless. I'm kind of regretting. I'm actually slightly regretting the board thing right now. But
and the thing is we don't know. We don't know that's the right trend. He could be saying anything.
It could be anything, right?
So here you go, Greg.
So love, love. God is love, right?
Right. And how does a male see love compared to a woman seeing love? How does a male see love? Boy, that's a me personally, right? As a male seeing love. I see laying my life down for my wife. Now, that's my viewpoint as a male, or just this Dale personally. Just
Dale male.
Dale male.
Yeah, Dale
male. It rhymes. So, yeah, that's what I see true love is like laying my life down for my wife and for my family.
The Bible says no greater love has any man that he's...
Lay down his life.
Lay down his life.
Or his friend. Or his wife.
Well, the word says, men, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her.
Doesn't that mean we have a higher standard?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like
what does
I just
that
said,
look like?
He gave himself for his bride.
He
sacrificed. He laid himself down for his bride. And I think, you know, we got to be careful with lumping all men into one package and saying this is what a man is. But your intro, you talked about how a man wants to make his wife happy. Mm-hmm. And I think that is innate in all of us. All of us that have chosen to get married, we got married because we love the person that we married, and there's a sacrificial part to that love, right? Like, you love them so much that it's not about you anymore. It's about her and ultimately about your family. So,
because if it is about her, then you're actually loving yourself.
Yeah.
Really? Aren't you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
According to the word.
Sure. Yeah.
What do you mean by it?
I was just thinking, like, the definition of love, love is patient. It's not a necessarily a feeling at all. It's, you know, actions and...
It's a choice.
Yeah.
In Corinthians, the love chapter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to love my wife, I'm going to do what Christ did to the church. And that's patience, that's kind,
so is long this, suffering. Is this out of style? Is this out of style in America, in the world today? I say America, you know, you're world traveler, more Russian than in some ways. Is there a difference in the cultures in the way husbands and wives are, you think, or...
No, I think Satan has distorted it at all.
Okay.
All over the world. But the Christian way of looking things is to serve your life, to love your wife. That's good. When you get home, your job doesn't end. Yeah. You start doing the dishes. You start changing the diapers. You start mopping the floors. You start doing something that serves your wife. And you do it, you know, not because she's saying, I desperately need you to do this, but because you want to do something that will bless her. And then the end result is when there's a hard decision, you know, and you have to make a decision, and it's a hard decision, you're not ruling your house with an iron fist and said, I said so,
right?
And she follows you. But she follows you because you serve her and because you love her. And so what I would say is love and service, they're one and the same.
And
love support, is an action.
Mm-hmm. And support, right? So love is support.
Right.
Right, supporting. The word submit is also the word support, right? It's a undergirding, coming alongside. You're saying pitching in, but laying down your life.
Just then, love is an action.
Absolutely.
That's what you just said. And I want to, let's take a moment right here, and your comments are coming in. Alan, we'll get to yours. Others, we're going to get to them as quickly as we can. Kenneth Copeland, I want to play clip number one for you. And he talks about this very thing. Love is not a feeling, it's a covenant. Watch this.
Now, Gloria and I have a covenant of marriage. We married 55 years yesterday. At the time we're doing this, April the 13th.
I'm going to stay with you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we entered into a covenant.
A marriage covenant.
A marriage covenant. And we learned later, we got married 6 months later, we both got born again. And then we began to learn over the years. And I learned later that covenant in the name of Jesus... And this marriage covenant, this serious thing with me. And the covenant,
better be.
Covenant of blood in the blood of Jesus.
Yes, amen.
Now, I swore in front of Joe Stewart in Little Rock, Arkansas, Friday the 13th of April 1962, that I would love her and care for her. Now, over the years, that's grown stronger and stronger and stronger. Now, I love you. I don't care who you are. I love you because that's a commandment from heaven. And love is not a feeling. Love is a person. And when God says, love your neighbor as yourself and love the brethren, even as I have loved the brethren, I don't have any option, but I have to do that. I don't care how I feel about you. I love
you. That's a commandment.
I love you on purpose. Agape, the Greek word for the love of God, does not mean feeling. Filio means feeling, however you pronounce that in Greek. But agape is an act of the will. I will love you regardless of what you do or say or who you are.
You know, I'm so thankful for the Copelands. Mm-hmm. What a wonderful example.
It's powerful.
For all of us, isn't it?
Very.
And I love that. It is a covenant. It is not a feeling. It is, and what an example for all of us. You have a new word.
Well, I have the Russian word for covenant, which is zavet.
Does it mean differently than what does that mean? To a Russian, what does that mean?
It means covenant. It means that we have an agreement and I'm going to follow through with
what happens if I don't in Russia. What happens? Do I want to know what happens if
you don't want to know what happens?
I mean, kneecap, sir.
You know, covenant is for real.
Yeah.
If you say I have a covenant friendship, what does that mean? That means I got your back.
Yeah.
Right. That means that I'm going to fight for you.
Right.
And marriage is a covenant, and marriage means that I'm going to fight for you. When others go against you, I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to help you. When others don't believe in you, I'm going to believe in you. When people say that, your dream, it's no good, and you should just stay home and just take care of the kids and forget about all the calling that God is giving you and all that stuff. As a husband, you're supposed to say, no, we're going to figure out how to make this work together to where it's not just going to be my dream that is, you know, I'm a minister. Mm-hmm. So as a husband, you know, I have some dreams in ministry and my wife has some dreams. And so it'd be extremely selfish of me if through our marriage, the only dreams that were accomplished were mine, mm-hmm. because she's always just serving to, you know, make sure that my dreams become a reality. Yeah. But as a husband, I need to make sure that there's a balance and I'm fighting for her dreams.
Right.
And I'm fighting for what's on her heart. Why? Because I have a covenant. Mm-hmm. I forgive her because I have a covenant.
So when, I'll be a little transparent here, when Michelle and I got married, I was working for Brother Hagen, and I had been married before. It was awful. And we got married. Michelle had never been married before. And out of fear, after we were married, out of fear, and I'm just saying, I was afraid. I did not want to have children. After we were married, I decided no. And I remember Brother Hagen, he slapped me. I mean, he slapped me. And he says, why are you stealing her dream?
Hmm. Ooh.
And I looked at him, and I thought maybe he was joking with me, but there was no joke in him. Hmm. He goes, why are you stealing her dream? You have covenanted with her. That's her dream that she's had.
Yeah.
And so I repented of it. I realized I was being selfish. And Timothy talks about in the last days, perilous or hard times will come because men will be lovers of self, mm-hmm. selfish. If I can open or close the door to hard times in my life, and the first way is selfish. Mm-hmm. Selfish is me withholding what I have the ability to give. I'm just talking about money now. If I withhold the ability to just smile at somebody,
yeah,
and I withhold it, I've opened the door to hard times in my, that's a word for somebody.
Amen.
I've opened the door mm-hmm. for hard times. Now, God didn't do that. I did that. So I repented of it. And we have three wonderful, beautiful children. And I'm so grateful that he loved me enough to rebuke me and to call me out on it. And so that's it's what you were talking about. We're partnership, we're a team. Listen, your questions or comments, they're coming in. I'm going to get to them, I promise. 682-302-1301 if you want to text them in. askhomegroup@govictory.com is the email, or Facebook. Just go ahead and send them right in. Here we go. Let's get to some of these. Alan says, my secret to marriage is trusting in God and being one with your wife. Friday, the February 14th. Is my 25th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Here, Artie wants to know, and we'll go around the room on this one. What attracts you to a woman? Let's not say attracts you to a woman because we're all married. What attracted you to Jill?
I met Jill. I met her parents in a laundromat. So they said, we're trying to get Jill to move to town.
And I'm like, well, she gets here, I'll take her out. Never knew her. But anyway, so she shows up and we meet. But we sat around and talked, and I found out she liked outdoors. She liked to hike. She'd actually go shoot rifles with me. So a lot of parallel interests. But really, what really made me like her is, like, after about maybe the third date, she jumped off a cliff with me. It was at about 30 feet cliff one night. In the middle of the night. Well, it was probably midnight.
What in the world?
A cliff into a rock quarry.
Is there a word for that? In Red
Russia? Hold on a second. Crazy.
Wait. Yeah.
Hold on. This brother just said his wife jumped off a cliff.
And you weren't married.
Into some rocks.
Into a rock quarry. We used to go cliff diving there.
Is there water?
Oh, there's water.
There's okay,
water.
Thank
there's
God.
Water.
So, okay. Yeah, that's, all I heard is rock quarry.
It's a pool.
I assume you dive, you know, you see water. So yes, it was 30 feet. It was probably at midnight. We were out riding my motorcycle. I said, "Hey, you want to go to a rock?
Jump into
quarry,
a rock quarry?
We go cliff diving."
Did you tell her there was water there when you?
Oh yeah, I told her that. Okay, I told her that. But I figured, well, what attracted me to Jill, right, is she's tough. She's tough.
I guess
she's tough.
I guess John.
I'm trying to figure out how to say this, but I'll just say it. She can sing.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, she can just flat, solid sing. I don't know anybody who sings better than my wife, and I can say that because she's my wife, right? But I met Brittany previously when I was a freshman in college, and she's a little bit younger than me, and so she was like a sophomore in high school. I was a freshman in college, and I didn't like her. I thought she was annoying.
Oh, wow.
And then I met her again after we had, like, she was getting ready to graduate college, and I was a pastor or a youth pastor at another church, and I was interviewing her friend for a position, and the friend didn't show up, but Brittany came.
Yeah.
And so I met her again. Well, through some course of events, we were doing a revival service together, and she was leading worship, and I'd never heard her sing before. And I came into the back of the service doing a sound check, and that girl started singing, and I went,
whoa, hold up.
Wow. And
that was it.
It moved me.
Yeah, that was it. Huh?
You didn't jump off a cliff.
Right there. No, I didn't jump off a cliff. But I would have.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Steven?
So Charity and I were friends for 3 years before we ever started dating. But even in like the initial stages of our friendship, what I really liked about her was she was not afraid to call me out.
Oh.
So there was never a moment where I was, you know, talking big on myself where she didn't say, okay, but you're not that great. I mean, she really brought me back down to earth.
California.
And this is what attracted you.
What attracted to me was that she was willing to be friends with me, not just tell me what I wanted
to
hear.
Cool. Oh, that's good.
She wasn't my fan. She was my friend.
Yeah.
And that friendship has been the foundation for our marriage. And we laugh. We like the same stuff, watch the same TV shows. And so we had this foundation of friendship that, you know, was really, I was attracted to the fact that she was at my level. She didn't let me get away with anything. She made me
awesome.
Better.
Still good.
I found, oh, absolutely. You guys know her. I mean, she makes me better, and I wanted to be
That's
a
good.
Better me when I was around her. And so not only was I attracted to her and liked her, but I liked me better when I was around her.
That's a deal.
That's really
because,
awesome.
I say this a lot. You look at the life of David, and with Abigail in particular, inside of every guy is a king and a fool. And it's the one you speak to is the one that comes out. And Abigail spoke to the king that day, and it changed the course of her life. So if you have sons, speak to the king in there. If you have daughters, speak to the queen in there.
It's powerful.
That is.
Caleb.
Let's see. I was being led by the flesh, and so I was looking at the body, and that was...
He's an honest man.
I'm honest.
Honest
all right, man. You all can talk about how there's cliffs and voices and friendship.
Honesty.
I was looking. I was going to heaven, but
anyway, let's see. Let me find a clip here, real quick. Somebody talk to me in my ear. What we got? No, go
it's
ahead.
A clip.
Go ahead. No, seriously, go ahead.
I was being led by assets. I wasn't being led by the Lord, and I, which was. In my mind, I had an image, and everybody says you got a list of things that you got on there, right? And for me, the first, you know, out of 10, 19 of them were physical. But
on your list.
Yeah, on my list. And then saved, you know, just saved. I was down there somewhere. And my wife was nothing on my list. And she was not, I was not physically attracted to her. And that's why when I first met her, I was like, what is this? What is this? I was so tied into the physical aspects and in my checklist. And yet I still had a weird connection, a unique connection, a draw to her that I couldn't put a finger on and say, oh, this is love. Because my definition of love was really lust, right? And I couldn't label it. So I didn't know how to handle a relationship.
You didn't know what love was.
I didn't. And that's part of the cool thing with being married to her. I learned what it was. And
You know, Brother Copeland said that Gloria Copeland taught him how to love.
Oh. Yeah.
I was driving a car and I'm praying in the spirit. And I'm like, God's inside of me. Holy Spirit's talking to me. And I'm trying to figure out, what is this going on inside? What are these feelings? You know, it's not this, like I said, this luscious passion that you see on TV and Disney movies and everything. You know, it wasn't there. But I was absolutely attracted to her in the other ways, you know, not just the body, but the soul and the spirit. Mm-hmm. And as time finally, after I realized what was going on, the physical side like clicked when it was time. It was the weirdest thing. I went away on a hunting trip it was a partner hunting trip. And I came back and Rachel was there. We went out to dinner and we weren't even dating. We were just kind of friends, you know, the friend zone. And sure enough, she walked away from the truck and it was just a different view. The other side kicked in. And I'm glad the physical didn't click in sooner, because then it leads to other temptations. But
when you were ready, when you were mature enough to handle it. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Philip, you're up.
My wife is very happy and very, very bright, which is what her name means, the shining and the bright one. When my wife walks into the room, you know my wife walked into the room.
That's good.
And so there's always a joy and excitement, you know, but honestly, I told the Lord, I said, my wife has to love you, number one, and number two, she has to serve others. Because I knew that I'm a minister, I'm going to go all over the world, I'm going to preach the gospel, and my wife is going to have to know how to serve others and love others. Wow. And those were, you know, the two things that were really on my heart. I said, God, she's got to love you, because that's the glue that holds us all together. You know, your love is the glue that holds us all together. But she's got to serve people, because I knew that there'd be a lot of people in my life, and that I wanted her to serve others and love others, because I love people.
I'm hearing a theme here from you. You know, a lot of people were getting nervous as you were starting to talk. You could feel the tension.
I loved it, bro. It was good.
No, it's good. I like the honesty. So here's we're just honest. We're telling the truth. And so from you to what you just said, to what you said, to what you said, to what you said, what I saw is when at different stages, as we were ready, the Lord revealed things to us that our callings matched.
That's exactly what it was.
That's it.
That our callings matched.
Yeah, that's exactly
it. More so than physical or whatever else. Well, maybe jumping off the cliff. But no, our
that's strength.
But it is. Yeah. And that's exactly for what you needed, because it's a covenant.
Yeah.
You know, that's interesting you say that, Greg, because I was thinking about that. The reason that her voice, like her singing, moved me was the thought of, man, that's a partnership.
Yeah.
You know, I knew I was called to preach, and she's called to sing. And that and it's just, so I knew that there's a partner. So in fact, we went to a conference before we were ever dating.
Yeah.
And I proposed to her before we were ever dating. I said,
Wait.
Before we were dating. It was kind of, we were just kind of playing around. And she was there with another group.
You don't play around with a,
okay. I didn't know that. But we were there and I said, hey, you sing real well and I preach, so we should get married. And she went, all right. We weren't even dating. And we went our separate ways after that too. And then, you know, you.
Smooth.
Yeah, hey, absolutely.
You sowed a seed. Right,
and I reaped a harvest.
Come on.
All right, let me get to some of these questions here. Philip wrote this in. I appreciate your honesty, Philip. We want to get to as many as we can. I don't filter them. This is exactly the way they come in. I have had difficulty with relationships and would really appreciate advice on how to develop relationships with a young lady, how to start and keep and how to keep from going too committed too quickly. And then he says this, how do I keep from being too friendly and how do I stay patient when one of my greatest desires is to find a forever girl? How do I prepare myself for her? Now, that's the question I'm glad you asked. Mm-hmm. Gentlemen, who wants to take that?
I'll take some of that.
Take some of that.
There's several things in there. The first thing, as you're reading it, jumped out in my mind was the idea of what season are you in?
Yeah.
I'm a hunter, so I can't go shoot duck in a different season. It's illegal.
Right.
In your life, there's different seasons and times that you're in. If it's a single season, be single. If it's the marriage season, be married. My dad told me, he said, Caleb, you're single. And that's when I was in college and stuff. He's like, enjoy the single things. Stay up late, go hunting, do that. He said, because when you get married, that's all going to change. Right. I was like, yeah, right. I'm gonna hunt when I'm married and do things like that. I don't care to hunt now as much as I did. You know what I'm saying? So you got to identify what season you're in and enjoy it. Because when you're married, you can't act like a single person.
No, because you want you.
Right. You know what I'm saying? I can't go hang out whenever I want to now.
Right.
It's not fair to her. It's not righteous.
And single is not a disease.
Yeah.
it is a season. And yeah,
that's what your ministry is.
Absolutely, right. Yeah, to young adults. And most of them are single. And it's a season of preparation. Amen. So every single thing you do as a single person is seed you're sowing for when you are a married person. You might have seasons even where you feel like, man, I am striking out everywhere. Every girl I ask, it's a no. Yeah. And that's just God preparing you. That's God giving you an opportunity to know who you are. Because here's the thing about marriage. You find out who you are really quick.
Yeah, that's true.
You are, and there is no hiding who you really are. Mm-hmm. Nobody is going to fall in love with who you're pretending to be, okay? Because it's not going to last.
Yeah.
Because the real you comes out.
You can't fake it.
Really quickly. So you take that single season to prepare yourself to become the person that you need to be the best spouse, to be in a covenant. Covenant's not something you do haphazardly.
No.
It's not something you just say. Hey, you want to
calculate it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because you're giving everything away.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. What's mine is yours, you know, yes. And what's yours is also yours. So you have this idea of being in a season of preparation. And if that's your focus, being single, it prepares you for more success in marriage than if you're just rushing to get to that as soon as possible. And I've seen young people especially be so enamored with the idea of getting married that they settle in what they're looking for and they make compromises about, you know, you talk about callings matching. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so important. Every single one of us can attest to the fact that if our wife's calling did not mesh with ours, it's going to be very difficult. Yeah. So you can't afford to settle in that area. So if you're single today and you're waiting and you have that desire, I don't believe that God puts a desire.
Time is your friend.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't believe God puts a desire for marriage in your heart to not fulfill it.
Correct. Well, there's another part of that question too, and it has to do with temperance, right? Like he asks, you know, how do I not be a friend too quick, or how do I not move too fast, or how do I temper that whole situation? You know, one of the things that you got to realize is marriage or relationship period shouldn't be 50-50. Right. It should be 100-100.
Yes.
Right. And so it's all of you and all of another person. And if you don't have all of you, right. Like if you're not ready to give all of you, if you don't even know what all of you looks like, then you can't really temper that. And so you kind of try to put your best foot forward, right? And that includes running full steam ahead at everything that I, you know, want to be seen as, I want to be known as, I try to put the cart before the horse. When you really truly know who you are, and when you have a handle on what God's called you to do, what God's called you to be, you have a tendency to be able to move a little bit slower because you don't have anything to prove.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And you know that I'm ready to surrender every part of who I am to another person in that season.
Yeah, my wife teaches this to young ladies all the time. If you're looking for a man to complete you, you will consistently be disappointed.
Right.
You have to be a whole person going into a relationship with another whole person.
Right.
Or else you will be trying to fit a person into a hole in your life that is not meant for them to fill.
Wow.
And you can put them in a God place and expect them to fill your needs and expect them to make you feel better about yourself. And that's not the role.
Well, no person,
no human can do that. You can't put a person
change her
in the God
or him
hole.
Change or she change him or him change her.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Let's go to a clip here real quick. Clip 5, Keith Moore, one of our favorites. Many people don't get married or or get married thinking if this doesn't work, it's okay. Guys, a marriage is based on covenant with God and each other, and it has the strength to last, even in the storms that comes to all of us. Watch Keith Moore. We'll come right back.
Many people today don't bother to get married. Many millions. And many, if they get married, there's no substantial commitment. It's like, you know, if it don't work, it doesn't work. There's no understanding at all of covenant. And I realize that we have, you know, many people that have been married and divorced and remarried and perhaps a number of times. And some when people weren't Christians and some when they were. We've all made mistakes. And it's not about looking at the past. But how many think if you enter into marriage with someone, you should be serious about it? Yes. And you should do it as a covenant before God. And if both of you are serious and enter into a covenant, you three, you, your spouse, and God, and is He able to keep you? Yes. If you'll maintain that commitment to that covenant, can He sustain you? Yes. And we see people around here many times standing up saying, been married 40 years, been married 50 years, been married 60 years. Well, they took it seriously. Yes. Is that right? Yes. And there was something strong that was holding, that enabled them to withstand the storms they encountered. Because no matter who you are, you're going to encounter some storms.
Okay, so hard times come.
Absolutely.
The rain comes on the righteous and the unrighteous. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you know that going in. Mm-hmm. But that covenant agreement, that commitment we made should be strong in us. We're complete people. And so tonight we're talking about relationships and marriage, and from the guy's perspective, the women were last week. We do want you to call in. We do want you to text us. The information will be periodically on the screen so that you'll be able to communicate with us. I have the iPad right here. I've got a really good question coming up, but Philip Renner has the whiteboard.
All right. So the next word that I have written is
this one,
which is boch, meaning God. And the reason I'm saying that is because God is the foundation of your marriage.
That's right.
Yes.
It's not romance. It's not gifts. It's not anything that you can give, but it's everything that God can give. And so the question was asked, how do I get prepared for marriage, or how do I take it slow? And I'll take it back to Matthew 6, 33.
Yeah.
Put God first, yeah. His righteousness, mm-hmm. and everything else will come your way.
That's absolutely right.
That's the way it works.
For me, when I started dating Ella, honestly, I wasn't even thinking about Ella. I mean, I was thinking about someday I'm going to get married, but I was so in love with God. I was in Bible school and I was serving in church and I was so in love with God. And then when God was like, check her out, I was like, what? God, I'm in the Bible right now. I'm in school right now. I'm so in love with you.
So he brought her to you.
Yeah, he said, pay attention to her. When I had said, because I had just gotten out of a broken relationship, and I had said, girls are evil. I'm never going to have another girl in my life. You know, God, you're good. You're holy. Put God first. Everything else will come your way. But not a girl right now. And then when my heart became right, then the right girl came into my life.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But here's what I'm saying is, a lot of times, you know, guys are just looking. They're looking and they're going to one church and another church and another church and another church. I actually have a friend and I called him four times in the same day and I said, where are you? I'm at church. Called him the next day. I'm at church. A couple of hours later, I'm at church. I'm like, what are you doing in church all day? And he says, I'm hunting.
Wow. He wasn't at church.
And I was like, bro, you got it all messed up. Yeah. The best hunting that you can do is on your face before the Lord. Right. Mm. You know, spending time with Him.
So what do I do?
And then God will bring the girl in your life.
What do you do with this then? In Proverbs, it talks about he that finds a wife.
Finds a good thing.
Is that hunting?
Right.
Well, I think.
Finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord.
So
we...
You got to look. It's our responsibility. I believe that.
It provides favor.
That might be a little old-fashioned for me, but I think that men are the ones who should be the ones
the pursuer.
Pursuing. Absolutely. And I love that story because I
but
see
I will,
it.
I'll throw this in. It's no fun to pursue and never to catch.
Absolutely.
You're yeah. Wiley Coyote.
You got to keep pursuing until you do catch.
Or you catch the wrong one.
Yeah, right.
You're building on the wrong foundation.
And then throw it back.
Right.
Yeah. But I kind of have this picture in my head of, like, if you're running as hard as you can after God.
Right.
And you look to your left and you look to your right, and there's someone running just as hard and just as fast in the same direction after him, chances are that's going to work out. As opposed to, I'm chasing God with everything I've got, but I'm looking around me for her, whoever she's going to be, and you slow your speed to let her catch up or something. I don't believe that's the way God intends it. It intends to be a partnership where I've got somebody who can run at the same pace as me after the same thing I'm going after.
Because you're in agreement.
Which is God, which is our covenant that we're not unequally yoked. You know, we are running in the same speed towards the same direction. And I often tell single people, I mean, just run hard after God. And then every once in a while, look to your left and look to your right and see who's there running with you.
Yeah.
And those are your people. And chances are one of them will be her or him for
just
ladies.
Quick comment on that scripture that you just quoted is Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22. He who finds a wife, right? That word find is not find like you went out and you were like fine. It's he who attains.
Attains.
Come on.
He who finds, he who attains a wife. It can even meet,
what is it
be meet,
can you
meet or in I can't, I don't know if I can.
Okay. Never mind.
Matzah.
Okay.
Matzah.
Matzah's bread, but that's okay.
Mm, not matzah, but
Hebrew breads.
That's Alabama okay. And Hebrew. But some of the, check this out though. Some of the meanings of the word are to secure, to acquire, to meet, to encounter, to learn.
Ooh.
To find out, to happen upon, right? So you weren't looking, you happened upon, right? Or to befall, or to even be found.
Wow.
Like not just you finding, but to be located yourself. So when he says he who finds a wife finds a good thing, it's you, God brought something into your life that you attained.
See, God saw us at the very beginning. He said, it's not good.
Right.
Which is interesting.
That we're alone. Now, it's not because we had socks laying all over the garden. It's not because Adam didn't pick his socks up.
Right.
It's not good.
There was something missing.
Right. And that's interesting because, you know, that's God created this and saw that it was good. And he created this and saw that it was good. And he created this and saw that it was good.
But
and
there
then
was nothing
he saw
like Adam.
There was nothing like Adam. When he saw that man was alone, he said, that's not good.
That ain't good.
So we are meant for relationship. We are meant for that.
You wanted to jump in on that?
Yeah, I just wanted to jump in that Adam, he was doing something. He was in charge of the animals and he was in charge of the garden. So he was in his full calling. And so he's doing what God told him to do. And then he rests, wakes up, and voila, there she is.
Yeah.
You know, so it shows me two things. First of all, if you're looking for a wife, you need to be in God's will.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Not going to church to look for a wife, but, you know, going to church to love God.
To look for a life,
look for a life.
Yeah,
right.
To love God. So be doing what God told you to do. And number two, Adam rested. And when he rested, he woke up. So there's something in there that you don't have to strive.
Right.
When you're with God, you don't have to strive to get something because he will just open your eyes and you will see it. You'll attain it. You'll find it. And when it comes to that, you know, a voice of a stranger, you will not follow. You will not be stupid. You will see her and you will go after her.
Right.
So it's very important to be in God's will. Follow hard after God, and then rest in him. Don't be in this worry of, oh my gosh, where am I going to find her?
Yeah.
Right.
But
yeah.
Just saying, God, I love you more than anything
else. So there's a question that will go to what you're saying right here. And this is, I believe it was Carolyn. Here's your question. And there's so many of them. So I'm going to try, guys, to speed us up on the questions here. Why do so many men, Carolyn, thank you, expect women then to lead spiritually in the relationship?
Because we've been given a false narrative of spiritual leadership.
Right. Amen.
There's a false narrative that says that women are more spiritual than men. You know, going back to Adam and going back to that design, God said it's not good for a man to be alone. So he brought a helpmeet, someone who could partner with him. Spiritually, we are to partner together. And there hadn't been a whole lot of demonstration of what that partnership
is. So I want to bring Pastor George in on this one.
Oh, he's here. Okay.
Right. Pastor George, by video, is going to answer this one.
Oh, okay.
Men, do you feel reluctant about taking spiritual leadership in your household? Well, where do you start? Pastor George is going to tell you how right now. Watch this.
In the early years of our marriage, I was really intimidated by her. And I was intimidated by her spirituality. And in so many cases, unfortunately, it seems like it's the women who are the ones who are the prayers. And men, we should be the ones who are. I'm not necessarily talking about taking their place. I'm talking about taking our place. The place that God has given to us. And to be the leaders in our households that God has called us to be. Not the dictators. Not the dictators. You know, the Bible clearly teaches us that men are to love their wives, even as Christ loves the church. That's the highest form of love that there is. But there is a place in our households that the Lord has given to us in the leadership of it, taking the lead in it. As for me and my house, and I'm saying this as Pastor George over his household, my family, my immediate family, my children, grandchildren, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Awesome. You know, in the Hebrew, in Jewish homes, every Shabbat, every Friday night, the fathers will bless their children. Mm-hmm. And so many times I think as Christians we've lost that.
Yeah.
We don't bless our children. We you're an idiot. I don't know why you know what I mean? Instead of laying our hands on them and actually blessing them. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever been to a Sabbath at a Jewish home, it's a beautiful thing to watch. I'm so proud of what you did on the math test this week.
Yeah.
You're phenomenal at that.
Yes.
It's that speaking life into them. Okay, let's get to as many of these as we can here. From a man's perspective, this no name on this one. From a man's perspective, here we go. Would each man on the program tonight react to this statement from your wife? I just want you to hold me.
I would hold her. Be exactly what I'd do.
And I get the connotation that it's not going to go anywhere else.
Well, you know, I'll give you an example with Jill. She would come home and she'd start talking and I'd start solving problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And I'd say,
is that what we're wired to do?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're wired to solve problems. And and she's like, I don't want an answer. I just want you to hear me.
And that's so counterintuitive to a man.
And I'm like, what are you? So I had to learn to go, now, Jill, are you asking me a question? Do you want me to solve something or do you just want me to listen? She's like, I just want you to listen. So if she says, I just want you to hold me, that's exactly what it means. I just want you to hold me.
You said something in there that is the perfect response. And that is, what do you want me to do?
Yes.
Because communication is critical, right?
Yeah.
And so sometimes she's really telling you, hey, can you help me with this? Sometimes she's not really telling you, can you help me with this? And so I do the same thing with Brittany. All right. How do you want me to hear this? Do you want me to hear this? Because I want to fix it for you, baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, my inclination is to fix it. But if you don't want me to fix it, I can just listen and be here for
you. As she downloads.
Right.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Guys, you got anything on that?
Nailed it.
It's awesome. I agree.
Ditto, ditto, ditto.
Old, next.
Yeah. I agree.
Hey, here's the scripture for it, though, okay. Greg, right here. We talked about submitting last week, or the ladies talked about submitting.
Mm-hmm.
So this is real interesting. It says Ephesians 5:21. It says, submit yourselves.
Yeah, one to another.
One to another. And then it moves on.
So it's a dual submission.
Right. It's dual submission. Yeah. So if Jill says, I just want you to hold me, it's like, hey, I'm holding you.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's dual submission.
It's great. Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. Stella, here's yours. We have two daughters and a son who's 10. As a mother, How can I help my son prepare for a marriage relationship?
As a mom, I think
I can't. I don't want to read into it.
Sure,
but it sounds like maybe she's a single mom.
But in that, a mom can speak into a son about how to be a husband in ways that a dad can't because she's a female. You know, so if that mom is like, hey, when you open the door for me, it does this for me.
Yeah.
When you help me with groceries, right. Yeah. When you help me with the groceries, it does this for me. You know, when you honor me or when you respect me, it helps me in this way. That really helps. But because you got to remember, these are young men and young boys are wired to fix things just like men are wired. They're wired to understand and to figure out how to take it apart and put it back together. So when he understands, hey, when I say yes, ma'am, to my mom, or when I help mom carry something, that does something for her,
right?
Then it makes him really want to do that.
On the flip side of that, my daughter Madison, I tell Maddie all the time, here's the criteria mm-hmm. for your husband. He will treat you day one mm-hmm. in the dating realm equal to or better than the way you've seen me treat your mother.
Mm-hmm.
If he does not, he's not the one, mm-hmm. or at least not right now
mm-hmm.
until he's grown some, but he's probably not the one.
Mm-hmm.
If it's equal to or better than the way you've seen me treat your mom. And that's being an example. That's what I'm trying to talk to you about.
What's interesting about
that, we should pattern that as
men. Yeah, and you saying that is awesome, but I would wager to say that most that's the example that most people are following anyway. She's not going to find a man that treats her any better than her dad treats her mom, because that's the standard she sees for marriage. So that's what she thinks it is. And boys the same way.
And
if a boy looks at the way that his dad treats his mom, he's only going to try to rise to that level because that's the example that he's seen. So,
Stephen, I hope that's the case.
Set examples. That's what we should be the case. But set examples.
But I've met far too many young people that, especially young girls, Disney is their guide.
Oh,
Cinderella.
Yeah.
To what they're looking for. They're looking for that Prince Charming. And your mother wrote a book, and I've read it. My wife Michelle has
about that book.
It's called Who Stole Cinderella? The Art of Happily Ever After. Tell me about this.
She didn't just write it as knowledge. She lived it out.
Wow.
She lived it out. She serves my father with all of her heart. Mm-hmm. And a lot of who my dad is today
Amen.
Is because of my mother.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's big.
It's the truth. It's the truth.
That's amazing.
And that's something that, you know, if wives are watching right now, we need to serve. You need to serve the husband. You need to serve each other.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a covenant. It's a relationship.
Absolutely.
It's a team.
Well, I'm a better husband, or I'm a better man because of Jill. Wouldn't you say the same thing?
Of course.
We would all say the same thing.
There's no person with a greater impact on you than your spouse.
Absolutely.
No person.
Because no one knows you better.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So, guys, I encourage you, find this. Amazon, wherever you can get it, find this, even for guys.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got daughters and wives, I encourage you to get it. It's really good. It just rings true. Let me get to look at the screen. There's so many here.
Wow.
Let's see. The Lord says to be equally yoked. Why doesn't the church provide a singles club so we can connect with equally yoked singles? Anybody just take them?
Well, I know. I mean, where I first met my wife was a singles night at Southwest Believers Convention.
Yeah.
And I went to it. They did it 2 years in a row, and that, I think they haven't done it since. But I felt like a piece of meat walking through. It was like, there's just, everybody's, where's my spouse? Where's my spouse? Where's my spouse? You know? So again, that kind of falls back in what we were talking about earlier, is you need to pursue your calling and pursue the Lord first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Yeah.
Now, we did one at Southwest this past year, and it was pretty, I mean, it was interesting. Yeah, There's no doubt about that.
There was some hunting happening for sure.
Yeah.
There's some blaze orange walking around.
This person's asking, how do I become a whole person?
How do I
become a whole person?
Well, glad you asked.
Mm.
Here's scripture. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says this, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The King James Version says it's been shed abroad in our hearts. So. When the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, you can love through anything.
Yeah.
Being a whole person requires that you know how to tap into that place inside of you.
That oneness with God.
That's right. And that you can use the strength, the love, the power that comes from that to live through anything. Being a whole person requires that you're honest with yourselves about the gaps that are in your own life. Yeah. And Jesus fills everything everywhere with himself.
Right.
And that's being a whole person.
We got less than 3 minutes. Let me get into another one. Been married and divorced. Was there a name on this or no name? Okay, thank you. I won't reveal your name. Been married, divorced twice. Neither wife worked. I worked hard to provide, terrible divorces, very costly, alienated my children, would like to have another wife. I just can't, he's now single, 65 and single. I just can't get past the past. What do I do?
Move into the future.
Mm. All right.
Look forward. Look forward. So if
I don't know, maybe I'm the only guy on here that's ever had that happen. It's painful, Dale. It'd be better.
You have to rename yourself, don't you? You have to rename yourself, figure out who
then,
you are?
Then, because you live it every day. It's not a death in the family. It's a daily death.
So how did you get past it?
Yeah,
What helped you?
Growing in the Word, really, I suppose.
So moving forward, finding out who you were and who you are, and not letting the past define you, but letting the Word define you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that forgiving myself.
Yeah, moving forward.
Owning what I had in that.
And recognizing there was still a future for you, know, that if you had pulse, you had purpose.
And so God still knows the desires of your heart.
God wasn't done with you. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Get in a place where they're building you up and reaffirming who you are in Christ, right? This, the scripture there in Ephesians talks about constantly washing your wife with the Word. So
that you might sanctify her.
Right. So, in other words, what he would do in that situation is constantly wash yourself with the Word.
Yeah.
Wash the past off and move into your future.
Yeah. Here's a woman, never married, wanted to marry, would love to have my own children, gives her age, has that ship sailed? Nope.
No.
I just took a stab at that. You guys want to?
No.
We're good. 56. It's not.
Not if that
mercies
still
are new every morning.
Come on. Yeah.
If that's still a desire, it's in your heart from the Lord. I absolutely don't think that ship has sailed.
I'd move toward.
Guys, I want to thank you so much as we wrap this up. We got just less than a minute to go, and I'm sorry. I apologize that we didn't get to every one of these comments and questions. Please watch it again on the replay. Here's the final thought. God honors us when we choose to enter into the covenant of marriage. Commit to putting him first, and then he'll prepare you for the next season in your life. Invest in each other. Every question about marriage is answered by the law of love. Amen. Keep choosing to listen to the leading of the Spirit, and he will help you. Thank you, everyone, for your questions. We enjoyed being with you today. Listen, some of you, we brought this up really quick. It's Denise Renner's book, Who Stole Cinderella? The Art of Happily Ever After. Who Stole Cinderella? The Art of Happily Ever After. I encourage you to get it. We're going to see you next week. Remember that God loves you.
We love you.
And what?
And Jesus is Lord.
Thank you, guys.
Amen.
I appreciate you being
here.
We'll see you Sunday.